Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa DeYoung. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the From Pain to Power podcast with me. I'm really glad to have you here today, and it's episode 2. We're going to be speaking about endometriosis, but before I get into that, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has listened to episode 1 so far and who supported me and sent me messages and encouraged me and shared the podcast on social media and with their friends and family. I really appreciate it. It is definitely a journey for me to embark on, and all of the support is much appreciated. And I'm actually quite overwhelmed with the amount of people who've already tuned in and listened and have got in touch. So yeah, it's great to have you join this conversation and this community. It's funny, as I sit down to record, I'm noticing myself feeling a little bit more nervous than I did when I recorded the first one. I don't know why that is, but that's how I feel today. But it's all good. We're going to go with it. I just want to remind you again that I am currently taking consult calls for anyone who's interested in doing some one-to-one work with me. I had a few calls this morning, and it's just great to chat to some of you to see where you're at, to see what I can help you with, and begin the journey of healing and working on trauma, chronic pain, the menstrual cycle. So you can head on over to my website. It's currently yourcyclematters.com, but in a couple of weeks, I'll have a different domain, which will be lisadeyoungcoaching.com. So let's do a really quick cycle check-in. I am on day 13 of my cycle, which I always log in my Clue app. Clue is one of the apps that I recommend for people to try out. It's a free app, and you can just download it and pop in day one of your cycle. And then it very conveniently remembers where you are in your cycle in the days following. And so I'm on day 13 today, and I have a long-term relationship now with my cycle and with menstrual cycle awareness and tracking the cycle. And so 13 is the day 13. It falls in the inner summer of the menstrual cycle, which is where we have the ovulatory phase, where we're fertile, where we ovulate. And I have to say, I'm feeling pretty good. This is where estrogen is generally at its highest. And we can feel pretty good at this point in the cycle. And that, in combination with just life and it being spring and no more COVID restrictions currently in Ireland. And for me personally, I'm having a lot more interpersonal connection with different people and just enjoying myself more and getting out and having some fun. Being in my inner summer is, it's fun. It's, you know, I feel quite turned on in life in general, you know, and that's one of the opportunities that the inner summer can give us. It can give us this ability to have quite an extra sensory experience of life itself in a pleasurable and fun way. So I'm currently riding that wave, but I have to remind myself that it doesn't last forever. On day 13 and enjoying that. So where are you in your cycle? If you do track, maybe you might check and see where you are, or if you don't track but you have a sense of where you could be in your menstrual cycle, which season you could be in, winter, spring, summer, autumn, and how do you experience that in your body today? How do you experience that in this very moment as you listen to me? And maybe to take a minute to just check in with yourself, see where you are. And yeah, that's how we build our relationship with our menstrual cycle, is through curiosity and observing ourselves in our cycle experience every month. Okay, so with all that out of the way, we're going to speak about endometriosis today. And One of the reasons why I've decided to, well, actually, the reason why I've decided to prioritize this as a topic for this podcast is because it doesn't get prioritized anywhere else, as in the medical system and even in conversations around women's health. I had an interesting moment a few weeks ago where I was, we were doing our lecture day for the cycle coaching and facilitation professional training that I'm currently offering. And one of the lenses that I bring into my coaching practice is that I hold a strong curiosity around the undercurrent around a particular topic. So I'm curious about the relationship of a particular topic or the dynamic that plays out in the world. So what happened was, because the professional training that I'm facilitating, I encourage us to have a co-created space in that training. So we all kind of agree together on topics and what we're going to talk about and explore, alongside obviously the curriculum that I offer. And one of the topics that we had been wanting to explore was endometriosis. And essentially what happened was, on an unconscious level, I'm the facilitator. I kept deprioritizing that as a topic in the group over other topics, until I and we as a group caught it and realized, oh, we've been pushing this down the list and it doesn't feel good. And I had a bit of a reaction to my own, behavior as a facilitator in that, when I was doing my reflection after some group work, I realized, oh, I've done something that feels a little bit out of integrity and it just feels off in my body. And I share that with you because I know that there are people here who are professionals interested in listening to my work from a professional point of view, and then also obviously people who aren't and they're just interested in learning about their own chronic pain and trauma. But I guess it's important for all of us to understand these things, is that there's often this kind of unconscious undercurrent that plays out in these spaces. And when we bring curiosity to that unconscious part in a way that's compassionate to ourselves and to each other, we can do really, really deep healing. So it was an amazing moment we had together as a group, albeit a little bit uncomfortable because I kind of felt like I had fucked up a little bit in the facilitation, but that's part of how I work, and it's okay. So we brought it up from that deprioritized place and prioritized, and we had a great conversation on it. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm really bringing it to the forefront here. It's currently still March as I record this, and March is Endometriosis Awareness Month in the world. And I think, yeah, we just have to keep talking about endometriosis. It affects 1 in 10 women around the world. It takes an average, I think, of 9 years to get diagnosed. And I always want to highlight that the time to diagnosis does not equate treatment. So somebody can be diagnosed with endometriosis, but that does not mean anything about their treatment or their care or how they're being looked after, how their ability to look after themselves. So diagnosis is just the label that we get, you know, that we have endometriosis, usually via laparoscopy. So let's talk about endometriosis. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak to the kind of more scientific biology part of endometriosis today, because I think a lot of you who are listening will already know what endometriosis is, and or maybe you're on a journey of suspecting that you could have it, or you work with a lot of people who might have endometriosis or who do have endo, or you support a loved one with it. And so I'm going to speak a little bit to, well, I'm going to speak a lot to the science, the biology, and the important treatment options and self-care practices that I have seen to be the most effective when it comes to endometriosis care. And what I love about my work is that the place I've come to professionally is inclusive of all conversations. At least that's what I try to do. I try my best to do that. And so that's the lens through which we're going to look at this today, is looking at conventional medicine, looking at the science, looking at the sort of the mainstream conversation around endometriosis, and then also looking at holistic care options and how we can integrate all of them together. Because I do believe that when we allow ourselves to have a holistic approach and an integrative approach to our chronic pain, we just have the best chance of a better quality of life. And that really is, at the end of the day, endometriosis care and treatment should have the ultimate goal of improving a person's quality of life over, you know, judging a person for their choices or judging ourselves for our choices or any kind of ego centered around it, because that can also play out. I've seen that in the medical world. And so it really has to be patient centered, female centered, and focused on an improved quality of life. And I also believe a trauma informed conversation around this, because there's so much trauma in endometriosis. Like the experience of having endometriosis, I believe, is traumatic in and of itself. And then navigating the medical system, that's a whole other trauma. And then the medical negligence that many of us experience, another trauma. So there's just a lot of layers of trauma on a psychological and on a somatic level. And so that's why we got to have this open, curious, trauma-informed conversations that allows a person to understand all of their options and have that informed consent with regards to their medical care, treatment, and self-care journey. Okay, so what is endometriosis? And I know a lot of you probably have heard this over and over again, or you've been reading about it. But for anyone who doesn't know, it is where there are lesions of tissue that under the microscope express themselves in a similar way to the lining of the uterus, and they are found outside of the uterus. Okay, so that's important to distinguish, because it's not the lining of the uterus, it's similar to the lining of the uterus. And what that means is that when we as women have a menstrual cycle, The cells of the lining of the uterus respond to the hormonal fluctuation and changes throughout the month of our menstrual journey, menstrual cycle. And so the cells that are found outside of the uterus, that is the endometriosis tissue, those cells also start to respond to the fluctuations of hormones that is happening from the brain and the ovaries. And that therein lies the problem, because when those cells that are outside of the uterus are trying to shed, because the hormones are sending a message to the uterus, oh, you have to shed and have your period, then these other foreign cells, the lesions, will also think, oh, we have to shed and find our way outside of the body. But the problem is there's no exit canal through that part of the body where those lesions are. And then that results in an inflammatory environment, and can lead to chronic pain of various varieties. And that's really important to understand, because when we think about it like that, that the tissue is outside of the uterus, it therefore tells me that it actually has very little to do with the uterus, and rather this is a hormonal condition. And such it is. It is a hormonal and it's a hormonal condition and also an immune dysfunction, because the immune system plays a role here when the body is trying to shed or when these when the body is trying to allow these lesions to shed from where they cannot. The immune system detects those as an invader, kind of like a cancerous cell. And then the immune system fires up and tries to fight the cells and tries to attack them. And it kind of becomes this almost similar to an autoimmune disease in the way that the body starts attacking itself without the ability to do so. And I make that point because when we're going to be speaking about medical care options later on, I'm going to refer back to that point that the endometriosis itself doesn't have a huge amount to do with the uterus. Now, that's not always true, because obviously there will be cases where there will be endometriosis much nearer to the uterus. But generally speaking, it's not, the uterus here isn't the problem. It's the endometriosis tissue that is found outside of the uterus. So why does it happen? Like, why does this thing, these tissues, come, you know, why are they there? And The, I suppose, maybe, is that even a good question to ask? Because actually, I've asked myself that question for a long time, now that I think about it here live with you. And that question never really helped me very much, because you could be looking for that answer forever. And actually, at the end of the day, it's not about figuring that out. I think that's for the medical community to figure out, and the scientists and people doing research on this. But as endo warriors, as people with endometriosis, as endo patients, as women, as people with menstrual cycles who might think they have endometriosis, really, it's not about figuring out why it's there, but actually about how we can heal, how we can recover, how we can look after ourselves, how we can work with chronic pain, all those questions that are a little bit more self-empowering. But to answer the question, like, from what I've read, there are kind of a few theories around where and why endometriosis happens, like where it comes from. And one of them is this idea of retrograde menstruation, which essentially means your period flowing back up the fallopian tubes and then out of the fallopian tubes and then leaking into the body. And I don't know, I think this might be a myth that's already been challenged. I don't know how true it is. I haven't done a lot of reading around it, but that's one of the theories. The other theory is that it's an inflammatory estrogen dominant condition that's caused by lifestyle stress, trauma. I've also seen theories around it being related to unprocessed anger, or even in Chinese medicine, they talk about kind of damp in the body and not enough qi flowing, like you're not getting enough sort of movement in your circulatory system. Which, you know, those things, I guess, can contribute to it. And then the third one that is sort of a new theory as to where and why endometriosis like happens, which kind of feels better for me when I think about it, is that it's a birth defect, and that what happens is when the embryo is growing in the uterus, that the tissue of the uterus can kind of get misplaced in the development of the fetus and then find itself in different parts of the body. And then when a young girl, an adolescent girl, starts to menstruate and her menstrual cycle hormones turn on in puberty, those cells that have been there for, you know, since birth, finding themselves outside of the uterus, they start to respond to the fluctuations of hormones in the body. And then what happens over time then, that those cells, because of the menstrual cycle and the estrogen increasing every month, they start to feed endometriosis, and then endometriosis can grow and develop, which it does. And it's never, obviously, because it hasn't been understood or treated in the medical system, that particular girl. And then as she grows into a woman, it can get worse and worse and worse. And that's when you get, you know, endometriosis and its symptoms and its problems and its impact on your quality of life. So the it being a birth defect, there is some new research around that. It's not something that I've seen a lot of people talking about, but because I do sometimes follow the expert surgeons now in the field of endometriosis and listen to their interviews on other people's podcasts and have read into some of their medical papers, it's a very, you know, believable theory, and that feels right for me, because in a way, as someone who has had endometriosis and currently, I guess I still do have it, and I'm going to be going into my own personal journey, I think, in another podcast. But if you think of it as retrograde menstruation and it being a result of unprocessed emotion and inflammation in your lifestyle, then it's very easy to blame ourselves. And I don't think that that's helpful. So they're just the three options. And for me, it being the birth defect makes a whole lot of sense to me. So I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on that as well. So that is kind of a little bit of the background of endometriosis that I wanted to address today. It's really interesting as I sit here and just look at my notes as I'm recording, and I'm pausing and recording again as I reflect. Endometriosis is a messy condition, and having had conversations with world-renowned experts in the space of endometriosis, when I say experts, I mean medical surgeons who treat endometriosis, those people, they also have admitted to it being a very complex condition and being not really understood. And it's almost like the more research and training and experience that they accumulate in their career around endometriosis, the more that they see that they don't understand it, the more they realize they have yet to learn around endometriosis. And that I find really fascinating, because as I sat down to plan this podcast episode, I was even myself experiencing, like, my notes were messy, my thoughts were messy, I was confused about where to go, how was I going to structure this conversation. Even when I spoke about it in that professional group training that I shared on at the start of this episode, it's just messy and complex. And I think if we're having that experience in ourselves personally, and me as a professional, it really highlights to me the reality of this condition and what goes on in the medical system, and even in the holistic spaces as well that have conversations around endometriosis. There's a lot of arguments about endometriosis. There's a lot of anger around it. There is a lot of people who haven't been given the right treatment, who aren't able to access treatment. You know, there's just so many different angles that we can come to this conversation from. And so I just really want to highlight that's very real in the system out there in the world, even in the advocacy world, in my work, in my personal experience of being someone as well who has endometriosis and who's journeyed that path. And so, yeah, I think we just got to name that, because when we name the messiness and the complexity of something like this, it allows us to feel that, and it allows us to kind of be okay with that. And it gives us a place to start from. It gives us clarity on the fact that it is messy, and it's not just us. It's not just me. And we can start to begin to work with the messiness and work our way towards clarity and, you know, journeying the path of pain to power. So where are we now? It's a question I've written down here in terms of endometriosis care and knowledge. And because I'd like to think I'm pretty well read up on this space, personally and professionally, you know, I do think we've come a long, long way. Like, there's just so much happening in this space in the world. Endometriosis is a conversation in the media, I'd say every month, at least a few times a year here in Ireland. We now have an Endometriosis Awareness Month. You know, we have organizations that are supporting this work as well. We have an international conversation happening. We have a lot of patient advocacy groups. There's now lots of books being written on the subject. And yeah, there are still a lot of arguments between groups. There's a lot of disagreements between approaches and beliefs, advice, you know, doctors. And so this kind of goes back to the messiness, but I really want to bring our attention to the fact that there is a lot of trauma in the system, like in the medical system itself, obviously, in women's health, that's not new to us, and in ourselves personally. And so when we are journeying the path of our own care for endometriosis, or if you're supporting somebody with endometriosis, it is really, really important that we don't get sucked into the dynamics of the arguments and the disagreements and you should do this and you shouldn't do that. And, you know, this is the only way forward, because at the end of the day, we would have had it figured out by now if we did know the answer, you know. And the reality is that we don't, and there is no one right way, and there isn't one right treatment option. There are some treatment options that are presenting as, you know, they have more evidence to suggest that you could be better off if you get those treatment options. But still, it's still really, really early days in all of the treatment options. And so it comes back to that power piece in ourselves, our own sense of agency, informing ourselves, taking up space in our own responsibility towards having informed consent around our medical care, and building up the confidence to find our voice through our trauma, right? And be able to speak to our doctors and be able to advocate for ourselves. Just all of that is part of this conversation. And that's a really, really important part of my work when I'm working with someone. I'm not only giving people information about endometriosis, but also really working with their relationship with themselves, their relationship with their confidence, their relationship with their communication skills, you know, boundaries when it comes to doctors, and getting clear on what it is that we need, and being able to go into the doctor's office and come out with what it was that you wanted. And that's a point that I'd really love for you to take home today. And it's, you know, a big part of the approach that I take is that piece around finding our place in the mess from a mindset point of view and also from a physiological point of view, getting, you know, getting to know what feels good, what doesn't feel good. And I'll give you a little example. As I was journeying the path of re-entering the medical system myself last year, I had surgery last July in London. And I know a lot of you know that because I've shared it already on social media, but that's again, a story for another day. But I did, I had reached out to a women's group that I was in. It was a private group, and I reached out just to share in advance of the surgery of what was going on for me. And a person in the group sent me some not very helpful unsolicited advice. As much as I love that person, and if she's listening, no hard feelings, but it's just the reality. It's the reality that there's a lot of unsolicited advice out there. And this particular piece of advice was really just not helpful. And I really didn't agree with it. And it sent me into anger. And also it sent me into a little bit of a trauma response in myself, because it did trigger that part in me that, like, oh, maybe she's right. Maybe I shouldn't go for surgery. Maybe I should just try this one other thing that she's suggesting, you know? And I had to really catch myself, because I had done all of the things that I could possibly do to avoid going for surgery again. And it's a dangerous route when we try to take, you know, our healthcare, if we take over responsibility for our health, for something that can be treated in the medical system, if we're in front of the right doctor or surgeon. And it can be very, very dangerous to receive the unhelpful, unsolicited advice that is not evidence-based, you know. So I really had to catch that. And so I'd like for you to think about that. Like, where do you find yourself in the mess? How do you want to feel in this mess for yourself? What parts of the mess? And when I say mess, I don't mean your personal mess. I mean like the systemic mess that is endometriosis. It's this, you know, it's a social issue really that is being looked at and needs to be prioritized. So what parts can we clean up for ourselves? Like, which parts can we control? You know, how do we find our place in the system? How do we find our place in the misogyny that a lot of us experience, and in the gaslighting? How do we find ourselves in our relationship with self-care, and where do we want to move towards with our relationship with self-care? What choices do we have? What choices do we have that we don't yet realize we have? What personal responsibility do we need to begin to take? And what support do we need to get in order to help us take those responsibilities? And then lastly, what are the parts that are not yet clear for us? And can we be okay with the lack of clarity around this? So it's really just getting clear and discerning for yourself where on the journey you are. And that's unfortunately the thing about endometriosis. It is a journey that is worth taking in terms of, like, if you want to treat this and if you are looking for a better quality of life. But that list that I just gave, they're just the layers and the nuances of the things that I've come to see in my coaching practice that are really important when it comes to this work. Okay. So I'm going to get a little bit more, because I know I spoke, that was quite theoretical, and, you know, we were talking about social stuff there and the medical system and our relationship with endometriosis and our relationship with ourselves and the different groups that exist in the space and the trauma of the groups themselves and how we find agency with where we move towards and how we, what place we can occupy. That's essentially what I've just said. But now I want to move into something a little bit more, I guess, practical, which is the two different types of pain that you can experience with endometriosis. And one of the, this is something that I was taught by my own surgeon. Actually, I think he had three types, but I'll just speak to the two because these were the two main pain symptoms that were important. And the thing about endometriosis is there are so many different symptoms that you can experience. And so If you suspect that you could have endometriosis, I would encourage you to obviously go to the doctor and, you know, have those symptoms be heard. But just be mindful that not all doctors agree and not all doctors are informed on this. And I've seen a lot of people being given misinformation around their symptoms. So if you're not sure, you don't feel reassured or listened to, just get a second opinion, get a third opinion, reach out to another type of expert in the field on this topic, because there's such a variety in the symptoms, you know. So it can be different types of pain, painful sex, chronic fatigue. Those would be the main symptoms of endometriosis. But then some people think that the pain can only happen at one time of the month. And some people think, oh, it needs to be pain there all the time. And there is no right answer for that, because the reality is that people with endometriosis will just have pain whenever the pain decides to show up, you know, so there's no like rule book for pain. So let's talk about pain. The first type of pain is called somatic pain. And somatic pain is where you say, if I was to, I don't know, like stab my hand or something with a pen, I would feel a pain in a very localized area of my hand. And it's clear to my brain that the danger and the threat response is in that part of my hand where the pen made contact with my hand. So that's somatic pain. And somatic pain would be like pain on a particular side of your gut. Say you could have pain in the left ovary or the right ovary. You might experience chronic pain with ovulation, and that would be a somatic pain. Or you might experience a very localized pain during intercourse, and that would also be somatic pain. Or maybe upon bowel movements and in a particular area, and that would also be somatic pain, localized pain. And the thing about endometriosis is, just because you have pain on your left side does not mean that you have endometriosis on your left side, because the pelvic region, there's so many nerves in that part of the body that you can have a nerve that's being triggered on the right side, but actually the endometriosis tissue that is the source of the problem is on the whole other side of the pelvis. So that's something to consider when you're speaking to your doctor or if you're looking for a surgeon. And then the second type of pain is called visceral pain. And this was very interesting to me, because one of the symptoms I had with endometriosis was this chronic fatigue upon menstruation. And so my surgeon very simply and very clearly explained it to me as the immune system. It's where you have pain anywhere in the body that's not localized. It can be kind of generalized inflamed pain, and you might have like your whole abdomen might be sore, hot, or achy, and it isn't really localized to one area. Or you might feel very sick and tired and weak. And that's what I had. I had this immune system response to my endometriosis, where when I was menstruating, my immune system detected these lesions, as we spoke about at the start, as being foreign invaders that needed to be attacked out of my body. But because there was nowhere for the lesions to go, my immune system was working and working and working and overworking to try and get this problem tissue out of my body. And so all of my energy was being used up by my immune system to fight this foreign cell. And I didn't have really, really much energy to cook my dinner or to go for a walk or to go to work. And I was just absolutely floored, and I'd be so pale, and sometimes I'd be faint. I would faint even before any kind of somatic pain would come in. And so that's a really important type of pain to consider when we're talking about endometriosis, because it indicates that the immune system is playing a big role here. Okay, so now that we've talked a little bit about pain, I'd love to speak to, like, I guess the two sides of treatment then, you know, and move, like, how do we move forward with this beyond diagnosis? And there's going to be your conventional medicine options, and then you have holistic options. And I believe in working with both. And very importantly, when you do decide to journey the path of endometriosis treatment in the medical system, I would encourage you to just get really informed on this, because sadly, there's a lot of doctors and surgeons who are treating endometriosis, but they're not experts, and let's just say we can do better. And I only say that because I've just spoken to a lot of women who have been given a lot of misinformation by their doctors. There's a lot of gaslighting that happens out there, and also a lot of surgeons who are treating women without the, in my opinion, adequate skills to treat endometriosis. And they're not doing any good. In fact, they're contributing to more harm to these women, because the doctors think that they know what they're doing and they don't. And so that's a part of this conversation that hasn't yet really been talked about, because there's this culture of wanting to be diplomatic and protect the medical system and protect doctors and be respectful. And I'm all for that. But this is happening on an unconscious level. I really think that the medical system doesn't know this about itself. It doesn't know that endometriosis has very little to do with the womb, but because it's a women's health problem, it gets lumped in with general gynecology, when in actual fact, it's, you know, very rarely has much to do with the uterus. The uterus isn't the problem, as I said. So when we're in the medical system, it's important to think, to consider that, and important to consider these three things. First is to try your best to get a surgeon who is an expert in endometriosis. And thankfully, there are more and more of these surgeons in the world. There's a lot more surgeons being trained in fellowship and residencies around endometriosis surgery. And it's also important that you seek out someone who does excision surgery. So there's two types of surgery that you can get for endometriosis. One is called ablation, one is called excision. There are two techniques that are used by the surgeon. Ablation is where the endometriosis is burnt away and the top layer of it is burnt away. And then excision is where it's cut out from the root. And the excision surgery is a more extensive surgery, but it has a much better result for it has a higher chance of a better outcome, and it's less likely that it will grow back. And because it's being cut out from the root, whereas ablation, you're just burning it off and it could grow back within a few months. And that's all I'll say on that, is just to consider excision surgery as being the gold standard for endometriosis treatment. And it's really, really important that you do your reading around that and you do your research around that. And you might have to inform your doctor about that, and that's okay. And, you know, I do think that doctors are starting to learn these things, but definitely be informed around that piece yourself. So those two things are really important: an expert surgeon and a person who practices with excision surgery. And the third one that I would also encourage you to think about is to work with a surgeon who has access to a multidisciplinary team. And the reason for that is because a lot of people who have endometriosis have endo in and around other organs that are not near the uterus. So for example, you can have diaphragmatic endometriosis, which is endometriosis on or around the diaphragm near the lungs. So that's kind of far away from the uterus, or around the kidneys and the bowels or the bladder. And a general gynecologist has not trained to do surgery on those organs. Whereas an expert endometriosis surgeon who works with a multidisciplinary team has access to the specialist surgeons who can operate in and around those organs and on those organs and work with that surgeon together to remove the endometriosis tissue from those organs. And I'm going to give a shout out here to a Facebook group. I'm sure a lot of you already know this Facebook group. It's called Nancy's Nook, N-A-N-C-Y apostrophe S, Nook, N-O-O-K. And this is, I think, the largest and the best patient advocacy group for endometriosis out there. And sadly, we do live in a world where, when it comes to women's health, a lot of it is crowdsourced on social media groups, which sounds a bit mad. And I definitely had an aversion to going onto Facebook groups and getting my medical advice from Facebook. But this Facebook group is very good, and it is very well moderated. It's not a support group for people to process their feelings or go into a huge amount of depth around their story. There's other groups for that. But rather, it's more like an information board, a resource group for information, for access, for support around access, for guidance on insurance, for getting a list of the approved and vetted surgeons globally by the team of Nancy's Nook. And I do trust this particular group and the work of Nancy and her fellow colleagues. And I just had a really positive experience on that group. Now, when you go into the group, you do have to take a lot of personal responsibility and self-advocacy and search around for questions. And they also have a website as well. You can't just go on there and, you know, ask a question and expect someone to just like tell you what to do. You do have to do a lot of your own homework and digging. So that can feel quite overwhelming. And I've spoken to women who have had a lot of resistance to joining that particular group because it's a bit of a minefield. But I would encourage you to do is to make it a self-care practice, to put it in your diary for an hour or two some evening, make a cup of tea, grab some chocolate, light a candle, get a lovely journal for yourself, or open up a a Word document on your computer just for this journey and start learning and start reading and start finding the information that you need for your particular situation. Because the thing about endometriosis is, like we said, it's so messy. Everyone has such a different experience. And what often happens is, you know, we all want to find someone who knows our story, and we all want to find someone who can, you know, tell us exactly what to do for ourselves. But because it's just such a there's such a diverse experience of endometriosis, you kind of are going into the jungle, you're going into the dark, and you have to pave your own way. But getting the supports and learning to trust yourself with your decisions and with what you're learning, and taking all the information in as you can, and then making decisions from that, can be great. And so, yeah, get yourself onto Nancy's Nook. And lastly, I want to speak to the holistic tools that I highly recommend for journeying this journey, because I do think that obviously I am a big advocate for getting the right medical care and support, but also combining that with a holistic approach. And so one of the biggest things for me, obviously, is menstrual cycle awareness. And I'm going to be speaking on that in more detail in another episode. But you can go onto my website and I have a cycle tracking guide that you can download and start to learn about menstrual cycle awareness, start to learn about the seasons of your menstrual cycle, start to build a relationship with the ebb and flow of energy around your menstrual cycle, understanding your cyclical nature. And the reason why this is so helpful is because it supports the nervous system. And that's another big part of this work, is supporting the nervous system, regulating the nervous system, practicing self-care, boundaries, you know, all of the things that help us just to feel better in our somatic selves. And that is a huge support when it comes to somebody who has any kind of suffering in the around the menstrual cycle, or chronic pain or mental health difficulties, and particularly endometriosis, is regulating the nervous system. And just getting to know your inner seasons, the winter being menstruation, spring is the week after menstruation, then summer is ovulation, then your autumn is your premenstrual week, and then we come back around again. So that's a huge part of the work. Then I also have written down here, diet obviously is very important, learning how to bring down inflammation through our diet as well. And again, that's something I go into in quite a lot of depth in my coaching practice and in my courses. But essentially, you know, thinking about bringing down inflammation and supporting your gut health and your liver health. And it doesn't have to be complicated or fancy or, you know, very difficult. You can still eat. You don't have to be hard on yourself, and you don't have to eradicate loads of different types of foods. Just getting the right nutrients in, and then regulating the nervous system as well is a huge part of it. Learning how to bring down pain signals when we are in pain, when we have endo flares. That's a huge tool. And so those will be the kind of the tools that I work with. But then there's obviously things like acupuncture, reflexology, massage, psychotherapy. There'd be so many different things that you can do for self-care. And the thing about it is, it's not that those things are going to fix the endo. Well, maybe they will. I think some people do experience that. I certainly didn't. But they are rather there to support you in your treatment, in your journey, in maybe you're choosing to not get surgery and you'd rather just manage the pain and the symptoms around endometriosis, and to really give yourself permission to go for that acupuncture once a month or once a week or whatever. And so that brings me to the end of this particular episode. I do feel like it was a little messy and maybe all over the place and maybe a bit overwhelming, but that's okay. I'm still learning on this journey of podcasting, and it was really important to me to dive right in and pick this big topic today, because the last thing I want to do is be contributing to the problem of forgetting about endometriosis and deprioritizing it when it deserves all the time and attention. And everything that we learn about endometriosis, even if we don't have it, it still applies, because it's the same journey for any kind of chronic pain or trauma, or learning about the menstrual cycle and hormones. Just because it expresses itself as endometriosis doesn't mean it's not relevant, say, for someone who has PMDD or PCOS. So it's all relevant. I'm going to be sharing some time in the future. I'm not sure when. I'll definitely share my own personal story with endometriosis. If you have any questions at all, head on over to my website, or you can email me lisa@lisadeyoungcoaching.com. You can send in a specific question, and that might inform my next episode, or I can answer it here on the podcast. And lastly, I have a free course that you can download. It's called Endometriosis, a Self-Care Journey. So if you go over to my website again, which is yourcyclematters.com at the moment, but in the future, it's going to be in the very near future, it's going to be lisadeyoungcoaching.com. You can grab yourself the free endometriosis self-care course. It's a video course. It's short and sweet, but still very powerful. And I have a particular focus on the nervous system, regulating the nervous system and doing kind of trauma work for yourself and getting your nervous system to settle when it's hard to do that. So do go over there. And like I said, if you want to work with me, you can do that as well. I have space. And that's it for me for today. Have a lovely rest of your week. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.